Before we take a short break, I'm going to take this time to do some recognition. This is the end of an academic year that we can all be very pleased and happy with, I think. But it's also the end of a couple of our regents' tenure on the board. And we have mementos for each of them. Cole has served ably in his year as a student regent and certainly an important part of any board in higher education is to have that student voice. And he's been that for us this year and followed a string of able regents. We have our incoming regent, student regent, here as well, and Cole, I may ask you to introduce him, and then I'll talk about George.
So, all right. Well, thank you all for your support this year for sure. It's been a great opportunity. Thank you for thinking about me. This is Sam Kurtz. He's coming in as a junior this next year, and he actually served as my vice president at SGA, so I know he will do a fantastic job.
Sure. Hello, everyone. My name is Sam Kurtz. I'm a sophomore here on the Hill. I'm from Bowling Green, so I've always been around Western since I was a little kid. My parents were season ticket holders, so I've always loved the Tops. But I'm very excited to serve, and I'm very excited to work with volleyball. And shout out Cole, because he's done a great job this year. So thank you.
All right. Thanks for being here today, Sam. And Cole, thank you for the last year of your work. And we'll distribute the gifts in a second. Our next region has been on here a bit longer, the last 6 years, and if all of us can only be so lucky to have just a handful of people in your lives that demonstrate and give you inspiration in whatever you're doing, you're lucky, and I think many of us would agree George is that kind of person. He's been a strong regent, whether he was on Zoom or here in person as he is today. Every board needs someone who can bring not only some gravitas, which certainly, George, you have done, but George has brought range to our board. And anyone that heard both George and his wife speak at the scholarship banquet understands the depth of experience and the numerous roles that he's filled throughout his life, which have brought richness to his service as a board member, not to mention the things that he and CJ have supported and created here on our campus. He is truly an exceptional person and regent, and we are going to miss this guy tremendously. So with that, we have a couple of mementos for both of you, which I will hand out.
Regent Vail, I'll add to your comments. Cole. Thank you for staying focused on improving the lives of our students and keeping SGA focused on that. I think we all had some tremendous successes this year, some creative ideas that you've implemented to help our students, and I'm proud of the work that you all have done. And Sam, welcome. We already know each other because we worked together for this year, but looking forward to continuing that next year. To George, George was my first new regent when I became president. You never forget your first new regent. So I'm thankful for everything that I've learned from you, and more importantly, for how you challenged me and pushed me and made me think about how to lead as a president. And I'm better, and the university is better, and we're on more solid footing because of not just your service on the board, but your mentorship with me in some ways. And so I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for your friendship. I'm thankful for CJ's friendship. And even though you're rolling off of the board, you can't get away from us. So we're going to have you back as much as we can. and I'll continue to bounce ideas off of you. Thank you for everything.
Thank you. George, like before we let you say anything, anyone else that wants
to? No, don't, please.
Yeah. All right. We'll give you the last one.
I actually can't believe it's been 6 years, and I remember my first meeting as the first, and Tim had just started. And I want to pause here because I got to go back and back at you. I've been president of a college for 4 years, and I have shadowed Tim to be better at my job and what I do. Even though the colleges and the university are totally different, your leadership here, the impact you've had has been phenomenal. And as I've talked to people in regulators, accrediting bodies and others, I actually been able to say I'm on the Board of Regents at Western Kentucky University. It's been a benefit. And then when I talk to them about who I follow in terms of my leadership, so I recognize you for that. You know, you all know this is special to me. It's my hometown. This is where I met my wife, who is my soulmate. And it's funny that we purchased a little space outside of the chapel, so this would be my final resting place. But I have to admit that it may only be my resting place. CJ said that she refused to be burned when she dies, so that if I die first, I will be the only one there. And so I just want you all to know that it may not be the whole family there. It's just
it could be just a lock of hair.
That's it. I'm asking. But I tell you, and then obviously our involvement with ISEC, but I hope you know what you're a part of. What we heard about how education's changing, how the university is, I'm in this business, and I will tell you, there are very few places that are as positioned well as we are at Western Kentucky University because of what's happened over the last 6 years on your team. Thinking about it, bringing in the right people, bringing in the talent, having a great governance structure and fiduciary board to help and challenge the president. I sit back and I know there's big red and big blue somewhere out in the state of Kentucky, but I'll tell you, this is really the place that I think is most unique because of the fact that we're not the state school that everybody talks about, but just as impactful, if not more. And that actually helps you in some ways. It's also a disadvantage, but this is, and then when I look at the retention numbers, you should write a book about what this university's done on retention. What everybody's looking at, when you look at enrollment's down across the country, but not here. And it's been an honor for me to serve. I'll always be part of the family. I'll always be here. You'll probably will get tired of seeing me, but I'm going to be here always because we love Western Kentucky University. And I have, again, am honored and humbled at the opportunity to be a regent at my hometown university. So thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. With that, we're going to take a short break and distribute these gifts and be back in 10.
All right.
We will resume our agenda.
Recording in progress.
And move into the Student Affairs Committee and Doris.
Thank you, Chair Bell. We have one information item under Student Affairs, and I'm going to.
Thank you, Chair Thomas. Thank you, Regents. Thank you, Dr. Cavone. We have an information item today regarding the TOP program, Topper Orientation Program, new student orientation for students coming to the Hill in the fall. As we conclude the spring semester, the enrollment management cycle of recruitment and cultivation trudges forward, and we're going to keep going into the summer with our new student orientation program. I'm going to ask Scott McDonald, our Assistant Vice President for Enrollment Management, to introduce this group. But what is unique about our TOP program is it is staffed predominantly by our students and run by our students. We have Owen Posey from admissions who's providing their management oversight. But these two students that are going to be presenting today are running top orientation program for our new students. And these, candidly, are two of my favorite students that I know here on the Hill. And so I'm really glad to have them here presenting. So, Aiden, I'm going to give you Scott, if you would.
Well, thank you very much. Good afternoon. As Dr. Lucas said, we just want to share a little bit about the TOP program, which is our primary orientation for our first-time freshmen when they come to campus and maybe freshman classes, which is a mentor, but also to start getting connected with fellow Hilltoppers and Clinton students. And these are two of our leaders. And they're going to just kind of walk you through the program and share a little bit about their experiences. I'm being a TOP guy has meant to them. So, Aiden Savory, help me take over.
Thank you for having us. I understand it's a very busy day on campus. I will be working commencement later, so definitely means a lot that not only do you all meet to kind of get things started for next year in the summer, but also to take some time to listen to student-run organizations, because I know that you all speak for the university, and so it's really a testament to the way that you all uplift our voices that you allow us to come and talk to you today. So we'll just do some brief introductions before we get started. My name is Sabri Norris. I am a junior here on the Hill. This is my last day that I can say that, a rising senior, and I am involved in different facets of campus that have really just allowed me to find opportunities to serve our surrounding campus and community, and especially those incoming students who want to share their time here on the Hill with me. So I have the opportunity to serve as the lead of TOP. So Aiden and I are up here. We are the leaders of the TOPper Orientation Program. We'll talk about the nitty-gritty of that as we go in throughout this presentation, but the opportunity to serve student leaders who are then going to serve our incoming class has definitely meant a lot to me, and that transition was made easier by TOP, so the opportunity for me to then serve in aiding people's transition as they come to WKU has been very special in my time thus far. I also have the opportunity to serve as the chair of Spirit Masters here on campus, so to see so many familiar faces in here that make me more comfortable and excited, that has definitely meant a lot to me, and I think it's a testament to the relationships that we get to build here on the Hill. And then I also have some involvement with the Honors College and Greek Life here on campus, so just other tethers that I've been able to find here at WKU to make this place feel more like home.
Hi guys, my name is Aiden Canizales. I'm a junior here on the Hill studying biology with a psych minor. I'm originally from Nashville, Tennessee, so Bowling Green is pretty close to home. I always like to say it's a hop skipping away, but also enough far away to get away from my parents, but close enough to come home if I need to. I'm involved here on campus as well. As Sabri said, I serve as co-lead or just lead for our TOPper orientation program. So it's been really nice. It's actually one of the first organizations that I've joined here on campus. So being able to see it grow and also seeing myself grow within it has been great, a phenomenal opportunity. I'm part of Greek Life here on campus. I'm also an admissions ambassador, so I do the tours here at school. So that's also been a pretty great program to be a part of. And then I'm also part of our Student Government Association, so I get to work alongside Cole, Sam, Preston over there a lot as well.
We'll go ahead and get started.
So to begin, we really wanted to break down what exactly the TOPper Orientation Program entails, what we stand for, and what we do for every single incoming student that's going to attend WKU at some point. So it is a mandatory orientation program for all of our students, but I like to kind of switch that language around from mandatory to it being an opportunity for a registered student organization to touch the lives sincerely of every single student that comes to campus. So throughout the tours that we give and the other opportunities that we have to get involved and serve the community, there are very few opportunities where us as students have the chance to meet and have a genuine interaction with every single student that will step foot here on this campus. And so I think that also is a testament to just what we strive to kind of build in regards to the spirit that we share amongst this community. So we get to ease the mind of students as they go through this transition. We get to help them get oriented before they start classes in the fall. And so that's definitely meant a lot to us in that regard. We are overseen by the Office of Admissions, so to have Owen Posey as kind of our director and leader of TOP, when he served as a TOP guide when he was here, and how I know he's gotten to watch this grow and then serve as a mentor to us, has meant a lot to us. And so we work directly with the Office of Admissions. A lot of TOP guides are also tour guides. We found that these roles really enhance each other, and so having the opportunity to meet students and introduce them to campus for their first time and then continue to serve as a familiar face for them when they come to orientation and when they are on the Hill I think also really eases the mind and excites students when they come to WKU. And then, as we touched on previously, we are facilitated by Top Guides. We have some numbers that we'll share with you in a little bit, but we are essentially entirely run. While we do have some wonderful mentors that do pour into us and make sure that these things go smoothly, this is facilitated by almost 50 Top Guides who are students that strive to serve as kind of the hands and feet of the university that day. We understand that when students come to orientation, we are WKU to them. So we are one of those first interactions that they have. We take that very seriously, but it's also really exciting that we get to do that all summer.
So with the Topper Orientation Program, a big thing that comes about it is obviously that we are student-ran, as Sabrina said. So we kind of just want to touch a little bit about our experience with the Orientation Program, kind of why we got into it, how it's treating us, and what we want to do with it. So first off, me, I came here as a student. I knew absolutely no one coming to Western Kentucky. All I knew was myself. And from a small town outside of Nashville, even though I do say I'm from Nashville. But again, knew absolutely no one. My first year spent here on the Hill, I wasn't as involved as I wanted to be. And then after about a year or so entering my sophomore year, I had a friend who was part of the Topper Orientation Program. She reached out to me, let me know that there's an opportunity for me to apply. I went through the application process, and it was the first thing I joined here on campus. I always like to tell students that was kind of a little bit of my snowball effect that led me into absolutely everything else that I'm involved with here on campus. And again, like I mentioned earlier, it's something that I've seen grow since I first started and something that I've seen myself grow with it. If you told me about 2 years ago that I would be standing in front of all these people and talking about a program, I wouldn't have believed you. I thought I was just gonna come here, learn about biology, graduate, and leave. But I am so grateful for the opportunities that this program has given me, for the people I've met through this program, for the friends I've gained, for the mentors I've had. So it's something that I will always hold dear and near to my heart.
For me, we find that when students tour WKU, that's one of the pivotal moments that they decide that they want to attend here. And so my involvement, inspiration for TOP was my orientation program. And so even though mine and Aiden's looked a little bit different than it does now because ours were online, the engagement that I felt even through the computer, I thought spoke so highly to this organization. And so the way that the Top Guides online really did strive to message me in the Zoom chat box, and we did have breakout rooms that I had the opportunity to ask some of my hard-hitting, genuine questions to a real-life, real-time student, that really meant a lot to me. And so I was really inspired and wanted to play that pivotal role for students as they were showing their interest in colleges, no matter how that looked like. So to join the organization as a freshman, our applications go out in the fall, so first-year students do have the opportunity to apply. And so we're super grateful that we have, you know, first-year freshmen, sophomores, juniors, and outgoing seniors that serve in this role because they are representative of the student body that's coming into campus.
So here are a couple of our Top Guides. You can probably see some familiar faces over there to the left. Don't really look too hard at my picture. It's not the best one of myself. however, like Sabre mentioned, we have around 50 to 40 Top Guides each year, and they do come from absolutely everywhere. We always like to say that they, again, represent the entire student body. We have students from different organizations all over campus, different years, different backgrounds, speak different languages. And it's something that we really strive on, is the diversity that we are able to show that Western Kentucky has to those first years, especially when they come to campus for the first time. Some of them may have not gotten a tour. Some of them may have gotten a tour over the summer where we don't really have a lot of students walking around, or just on a non-busy day. But again, being able to see all of us line that stage, kind of hear us cheer that fight song on, they get to, again, see that diversity that we have within our campus.
So we've kind of talked about some of these numbers previously, but we wanted to talk about what our training and kind of our day-to-day looks like. So we'll both kind of pop in here to share what our times look like when we served as a Top Guide, and then now as we serve as the students who kind of organize and lay out that day, what that means to us and what that looks like. So the Top Guides that we have 42 this year. They are going to serve in various facets throughout that top day, and that they will give what we call our WKU 101 presentation. They will have about 35 students from a certain college, and our top days are organized by our academic colleges. So they come, they'll meet with the student, they'll have a WKU 101 presentation, an opportunity for questions, while their parents or guests that come, they go through a registering for classes 101 session, a what to expect session, to kind of prepare them for this transition that not only their student, but their family is about to go through. My parents were definitely very appreciative of not just the consideration that WKU catered towards me, but also the people that kind of were sponsoring me to go here. And so even if students don't have a guest, the opportunity that they have to meet people that will be the guests as they go to other things in their life is definitely very special and important. We do have some extensive training processes. They begin kind of in the spring because kind of towards the end of our spring semester, we really get things going. From spring all the way through the summer, we will orient every single incoming WKU student. So we want to make sure that people feel empowered and prepared to share their YWKU story, but also serve as a really informational and genuine representation of the university so people feel eager to get involved and comfortable when they step foot here on the Hill.
With that, I just kind of want to touch a little bit about kind of preparation that goes into running this organization, especially as top guides. So again, we have those meetings every single week with our orientation leaders throughout the entire spring semester, usually Thursdays at 8 p.m. at DSU. We'll have speakers come from every single organization that we can have during the semester, and housing to ISEC. We've had IT services come and speak to us as well, just so everybody is a little bit, or all our orientation leaders are a little bit familiar with everything that they need to know. Like I said, we are the first kind of faces that we see that they see on campus, and we just want to be sure to be knowledgeable about anything and be able to answer any question that we can, especially from a student perspective, because again, we are students just like them. With that, our day usually starts 24 hours before our first top day. Me, Sabri, along with the other leaders of the organization, will make sure to prep everything for the students. We always give them a little handbag. We just got new bags. If you've been able to see people on tours, they kind of look like our Lululemon bags that you get. So you'll see those at WKU. Make sure you try to get one. They're nylon bags. You can reuse them. But they'll get that with a whole bunch of information about WKU. And then, again, we'll be able to talk to them about everything they need to know. And usually at the end of our day of orientation, we have an info fair that consists, again, of those resources that we have here on campus where students are able to walk around. They're able to get their parking pass, they get their ID picture taken, and also their IDs, and they sit one-on-one with our advisors from the specific academic colleges that are being represented that day, and they will be able to register their classes scheduled the way they want to. So again, it's just kind of like a big day to make sure that they know everything they need to know before coming to the
meeting. So just to close off today, this is a picture that we took at one of our most recent orientations. So all incoming students will get one of the first red towels that they'll start to collect over their time here. So always encouraging them to take them home because they will definitely gain a plethora throughout their time and involvement here on campus. And so it's sweet that this is one of the first ones that they receive, especially because so many of our top guides that have paved the way for me and Aiden to want to serve will be receiving one of their last alumni towels today. So that's been very special to serve alongside those people. What we really wanted to leave you all with is that we've been very thankful for the opportunity to serve in a role where we understand that when we interact with students, we are representing the entirety of the university, and so we really want to take that seriously and uphold the platform that we've been given to uplift the different opportunities and resources that make WKU so special to us so that it can be special to them from whatever perspective they choose to pursue. The last thing that we wanted to touch on was not only do we affect super pivotally the incoming students and their families, but what really surprised me about being involved in this organization was the effect that my fellow top guides would have on me. Before I got involved in college in this way, I did not really know what it meant to look up to peers and then to serve alongside these people and to have been poured into by so many of the mentors that we have here on campus to then pour into this incoming class. It means a lot to us. And then the preparation that we've gained and the transferable skills that we found will truly be with us forever. And so whether that looks like us continuing to serve on the Hill after we graduate or in whatever we undertake, we've been very thankful for the platform that WKU and TOP has given us to continue to serve people in this way. So we'll look forward to applications in the fall for new top guides, bring in several every year. So we're really looking forward to that. And just wanted to thank you for the time to come and present and talk to you all about what TOP means to us and what it means to the people here on campus.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Any questions?
I got to attend one of the functions in Diddle Arena. President Caboni spoke at it, and it was good. I was impressed with how many parents were here.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm wondering, obviously, targeting the students, but do we do anything? Do we give the parents a little baggy or a little...
With our orientation, we have a guest student check-in. So our guests will kind of split them off to their own check-in. They'll also go and receive their own bag with information. information about them and KU and everything. But also, we'll make sure that they go to their own sessions as well, usually a what to expect session. So kind of, you know, a good session about where students are, or how to, I guess, almost support a student going through college and what to expect from their students when they get to WKU. So we just want to make sure that not only are the students knowledgeable and everything they need to know about WKU, but the parents are as well. But we also want to have these students have that opportunity to kind of be on their own a little bit while they're here at Western, just because they are going to be essentially on their own when they come here, besides obviously having friends and stuff, but away from their parents for the first time for a lot of them. So being able to have them kind of go on and make their own schedule, because again, they're going to be the ones that are living through that schedule. We want to make sure that they, again, have the opportunity to be independent.
Yes. We probably can't thank you guys enough, because I think you're the first face that a lot of the students will have when they come to Western. So, you know, it's like when they walk in my office, my upfront girls can either make it or break it for me. So you all can make it or break it for us. So, you know, I think you all are making it for us from your great personalities. What you do,
and you know, keep getting the spirit out. You know, I appreciate it.
You know, I hope you have the best people that introduce kids to WKU.
You never need any WKU jokes, we got. We have everything in a cherry on top. Come on.
We were debating on putting you all through an icebreaker, but felt like that wouldn't have been appropriate. If you ever need a break, you know, during your next 10-minute break, you'll come back.
Like getting to know your icebreaker, we're happy to pull one of those out of our pocket. But thank you for having us. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. I want to make one more comment, just in, and this is in appreciation both to our top guides, our program admissions, but also we look at a specific metric between confirmation, which in this case is orientation, and matriculation in the fall. Call that belt. How many students do we have who show up for an orientation, register for classes, and then who also show up on the first day of school? And our melt has been historically consistent at about 5% of students who have come to orientation. Only we've only lost 5% in the transition to matriculation. And that's better than most colleges and universities that I'm aware of. And I think it's attributable to many facets of WKU. But I gotta give a lot of credit to these guys. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Dr. Logan. That was very interesting. And I didn't know that. I didn't know about this.
All right. Thank you. We'll move on to the executive committee. We have several items for action, and the first item concerns athletic contract, and I believe we have Todd Stewart here with us, perhaps, to present.
Yes, sir. Thank you. First of all, Cole, thank you for your support over the last year. Really enjoyed working with you, and certainly Regent Nichols, thank you for the last 6 years. I really appreciate your leadership. In terms of the two contracts that we have here today, they're pretty straightforward. Tyson Helton, obviously, is our football coach. He's been here the last 4 years, and we've been to a bowl game each of the 4 years. So that's pretty unusual. So really what this does is just adds a year onto his contract for any year that he wins seven or more games. It does not change the compensation at all. And then it's Steve Lux's contract. It's essentially the same financial contract as Rick Stansbury had. And feel really good about him. He's been here for over a month now and has hit the ground running. And we've had a lot of success in men's basketball, but we haven't been to an NCAA tournament since 2013. And that has to change. And what I like about Coach Lutz is the last 7 years he's been a coach. The teams he's been with have been to the NCAA tournament, including the last two as a head coach. So feel good about him and the direction that he ultimately will take us in.
Todd, before you go away, there's been some campus conversation about buyouts, and I think you gave a good representation of this over a historical perspective to the faculty, Senate Budget Finance Committee. Do you could talk about that just a little bit, about how we've come out on those. You know, we're restructuring some buyouts here, adding some of that.
Sure. Yeah, so the most recent situation was Rick Stansberry. It's been reported accurately that he had a $500,000 buyout. Now, what I would point out is if we did not extend his contract and then chose not to renew it, then we still would have had to pay him through June 30th. Because we extended his contract and then put the $500,000 buyout in there, when the contract was terminated in March, then we no longer paid anything towards the contract. We just paid the buyout. So if you do the math, the $500,000 buyout minus what we would have paid in March, April, May, and June, it's really a net payout of about $350,000. Still $350,000 more than what I wish we would do, but it's not really a $500,000 loss per se. It's $350,000. But, and again, I wish it was zero, but that didn't happen. But overall, you know, that was obviously a contract that we paid a buyout on, but we've been on the net positive on those over the last few years, and starting really with Bobby Petrino. When he left to go to Louisville, we got $1.2 million. Jeff Brown left to go to Purdue, we got $900,000. And when Michelle Hurd went to Cincinnati, we got $250,000. We paid Coach Stansberry the $500,000 or $350,000, however you want to look at it. John Pulowski, our baseball coach, we paid a $100,000 buyout there. So we have had to pay some buyouts when we made some changes. Lot more than what we've had to pay, fortunately.
In that same vein, if Tyson Helton got lured away, what's his contract?
If it happens before December 31st, it'd be $1.1 million we would receive. If it's after December 31st, it would be $900,000. Hope it doesn't happen.
We want to combine these two. Does anyone wish to separate them?
Let's separate them now, okay. Please.
Executive item number one is approval of the addendum of the athletic employment contract with the head men's football coach as presented to us. Do I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion. Regent Milken and the second by Regent Thomas. Any discussion? Not all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Passes. Second item is approval of the athletic employment contract of the head men's basketball coach.
So moved. Second.
Motion.
First of all, thank you, Donald, for being here. Since we're reflecting on memories from 6 years ago, I recall one of my first meetings as I walked in the door was with the volunteer head of the board of the WKU Foundation. And at that time, the head of the WKU Foundation also served as vice president for philanthropy. The conversation began with, the university owes the WKU Foundation this much money. Imagine that. And that was the beginning of my understanding of a challenge the institution faced. And if you think about context, there's an institution up the road that also was challenged with a similar kind of organizational structure. From my perspective, you never want the president of the university to have reporting to the president, an individual who leads a supposedly independent organization, and
the other half of their job is dependent upon a reporting structure with the president. It allows an individual in the seat to be able to direct that person to do things like take out debt that we will raise money toward. And it's just not a healthy separation between those decisions that should be made by outside organizations and internal. Secondly, and perhaps more importantly, almost no organization has two foundations supporting endowed funds and philanthropy. And they certainly don't have two organizations with two different investment policies, two different return on investment payout numbers. And so donors were saying over and over to us, I don't understand why this is the return I'm getting from College Heights Foundation, this is the return I'm getting from the WKU Foundation, and why is the payout higher here than it is over here? And they were just confused. And so we had a really good conversation in that first year. Donald was obviously at the College Heights Foundation, an important part of that. Randy at the WKU Foundation, John Paul Blair, who was in the seat, Mike Simpson, who was at the College Heights Foundation board, to say, look, we're getting ready to go through a strategic planning process. Can we take a look at this and simplify it, remove the liability exposure to the institution? Yes, we'll pay back whatever debt that we need to pay, and we've managed to do that too. But lastly, is there a way for us to say to our donors, this is the organization, essentially a single organization, that's responsible for investing and managing and distributing the endowed funds. And then on the other hand, for us, that the institution, as required by our accreditation now, is responsible for fundraising. There's some overlap, there's some work that we do together, but what we've done is essentially created a true separation, arm's length relationship between the institution and our foundation that manages our philanthropic resources. It also makes it clear to anyone who follows Donald or me what the relationship is and clarifies it. And so our College Heights Foundation has a tremendous history, getting ready to celebrate its centennial this year. And they've worked for 6 years to get to this point. And so I'm proud of the work that Donald, the volunteer leadership have done. And I'll also thank Andrea and our outside counsel and their outside counsel. These documents don't come together quickly or sometimes easily. And it's been a 12 pages, a couple years in the making. And when you go back to it, really about 6 years in the making. So this is an important celebratory day for all of us to hopefully get across the finish line. And what better day to do that than commencement day?
That's a great summary. You all have a red towel in front of you all. Some of you were at the scholarship celebration, and George and CJ did a wonderful job. We continue to hear great comments from that, so thank you for speaking that night. But we unveiled these towels that night. So on July 17th this year, we will celebrate our 100th anniversary of the College Heights Foundation. Just a brief history. Back in 1923, a faculty member, Lila Boone, gave $100 to Dr. Henry Hardin Cherry and said, I want to help deserving students in need get an education. Dr. Cherry was unsure about what to do with that. He pulled some citizens together, and that was the creation of a 12-member board that created the College Heights Foundation. Historically, the foundation has done a number of things through the years, everything from running the bookstore to the laundromat to constructing buildings on campus, but primarily over about the past three decades, has focused on scholarships. The College Heights Foundation administers about 1,500 individual scholarship funds and all kind of tell their own unique story. The WKU Foundation was created in 1993, primarily focused on programmatic endowments, capital projects, and professorships. And as President Caboni mentioned, you know, there's got to be some confusion a little bit on different spending policies, different investment policies. What if I want to do both? How do I give here? And so when he came in and created a strategic plan, really challenged the foundation boards to say, how do we simplify the giving process? How do we eliminate donor confusion? And how do we maximize the overall impact of the institution? Those boards took that to heart, had conversations over the past few years. I want to thank Regent Bale, who was an ex officio member of the WKU Foundation Board. Melissa Dennison was a previous member of the College Heights Foundation Board.
as we wrestled through that to say, what is the most optimum organizational structure to lead us for the next century? So over the past few years, we've aligned our policies and procedures, we've streamlined our operations, really created a lot of efficiencies, and now in 23, we're taking the next step of consolidating the assets of those two foundations so we can create the true economies of scale moving forward. So as President mentioned, there are a lot of reasons that went into this, but overall, it's going to save money for the foundation, and we're also going to provide more impact back to the institution. This MOU last was drafted in 2017. Every about 5 years, we'll look at it anyway. So when that came due in 22 and we were close to the consolidation point, we said, let's just push it off to 2023. So as you go through it, this is representative of AGB, which is the Association of Governing Boards. They have an illustrative memorandum of understanding between the foundation and the institutions. A lot of the language in here you'll see is reflective of that. And then some of it are things, again, that we've added just to be able to further clarify the separation and the independence of the foundation from the institution, to draw distinct lines between philanthropy and alumni engagement and the foundation. And most importantly, think about the services that the foundation gets from the institution and vice versa in return, and explicitly spell those out in this MOU. So we feel like it's a document that will lead us going forward. As it says in here, we'll review it occasionally if things come up. But it's overall our guiding principle between the foundation and the institution. And happy to answer any questions that you all may have from the foundation side and, of course, the president from the university side.
I apologize for the late notice for you all. We were hoping to have it done last week, but we had a couple of smaller details that we had to iron out, and we at least got to the finish line. So thank you for your forbearance on it.
I will just say on that, I don't want you to feel like this is thrown in at the last minute. We've been cooking this in a crock pot for about 4 or 5 years now, and it seems like now it's got thrown in the microwave here at the end. But it has been something that we've been talking about for 6 or 7 months just to get the nuances correct in the document.
I'll add very quickly, I appreciate the expediency with which questions were answered once we got the document. Beth made the initial offers. University Andrea called me very quickly when I had questions, and I think every question that we had related to this was answered quite sufficiently and thoroughly, so I appreciate that response time given the quick turnaround for all of us. I appreciate that. And I do believe every region, please correct me if I'm wrong, that is here today was at the scholarship celebration dinner, and that is a testament to voice priorities by attendance sometimes, and I think that shows a demonstration where some of the priorities lay on this board. If I'm wrong, please don't correct me.
And enjoy an extra red towel if you were there. But to that point, Regent Brinkley, I know we often talk about the foundation and the endowment, which is about $235 million now, give or take. Market's down a little bit today. But about $235 million. But the most important thing is not the number of the endowments, lives that are being impacted by all those endowed funds. So thank you for many of you around the table that have your own endowed funds or non-endowed funds and support the institution.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I think the process of getting here today with this reflects the same process that created the grant model and the new budget model. We are trying to protect the university and be good fiduciaries and experience to do everything that we do. And I really appreciate the fact that it does help protect us as a board, a president, and people that care about Western from. Not that shenanigans can't still happen. I'm sure there might be ways, but it's much less likely. Thank you, Don, for helping steer this through for the long period of time. With that, I will entertain a motion for approval of Executive Item 3, Memorandum of Understanding, as presented to us.
So moved.
Second. A motion and a second. Both to my right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Motion passes. Thank you, Don.
that same vein, I'm going to take a minute or two, President Cavone and I, talk about this, and looking back over the last year and what's happened, and the fact that sometimes we forget to see the forest for the trees, but I think the thing I'm most proud about when we talk about other universities who we compete with and other institutions today, we can honestly look at them and say, this university is providing tremendous value. And as regents and hopefully as faculty members and staff, we can go out into the world and stand on a podium if we have to and scream to the world why Western Kentucky University is a great place for students to come, no matter their age. So we have passed out for everyone our academic highlights for this past year. And I won't read the whole thing, but student success, of course, is number one. And as George pointed out, you know, what's been done here with retention is pretty amazing, and I guess we see part of that with our TOPS program, but it filters down throughout the university. The learning centers, the living learning communities definitely have had an impact, and we're seeing that in retention rates now that anyone would be proud of. 91% of first-year students return in the spring. And in our underrepresented minority students, 91%, that's 10% higher than just 5 or 6 years ago. We're going to graduate over 2,800 people. It's something we can all celebrate with various degrees being granted. The innovation that's going on our campus is widespread. It's listed here, some of the things that we're doing. I'm going to read these all. In our innovation campus where we had our meeting, 6 weeks ago, and we're just getting started there, and the potential there and how it affects not only our campus but all the communities around us. I believe they have established an innovation campus in either Elizabethtown or Owensboro.
Elizabethtown. Coke.
Yeah, the old Coke factory.
What does it stand for?
What does
COKE? It's an initialism that stands for something, but that was just opened.
Well, hopefully it's not Coke, but
COKE. Creating opportunities, knowledge, and so on.
And I believe there will be more. So, access and opportunity. Boy, did we see that in Glasgow last fall with that program, which gets off the ground this fall. 73 students are enrolled. The goal is to have 100. Students in junior and senior years after it's up and running for 2 years. And I would think many of those students will end up on campus down here, but it really addresses access and affordability. Those students in their last 2 years of high school can earn up to 30 hours of college credit. And that's no small feat. The Opportunity Fund. $50 million sounded like a lot of money at the invocation of President Cavone 6 years ago. Blew past that pretty quickly, up to $85 million now, and the goal being $100 million. And I don't think there's any question that we will meet that sooner rather than later. University scholarships totaling more than $56 million, affecting approximately 10,000 students. Donald, thank you for all your efforts in that arena, and thanks to all the individuals that are providing these scholarship funds in one manner or another. I've already talked about the Innovation Campus and what we've seen. Bingo size going out there. And really, no kidding, what they're doing, if they can, and it sounds like they are producing data that are meaningful in the real life. And believe me, long-term care is real life today. The baby boomers haven't arrived yet. They're trickling in, but any program that can show that they can improve life and care in that population, it's exciting that Western Kentucky University is producing something. And those people at the Innovation Campus will find a way to make that spread, it sounds like, across the world. Amazing. Involving companies, you know, that's one of the things that universities really are being charged to do now. You got to have partnerships. You got to partner with people and companies that are in your community, and we're doing that, and we'll do a lot more of that. Hands-on applied research, again, Bingo Size demonstrated that, and I know a lot of others. I know our engineering students do a lot of that, hands-on research. We'll continue to be a real leader in that respect. There are one universities, and I went to one, and I can attest that students don't get hands-on research experience like they do at Western Kentucky University. And we need to make that more widely known and demonstrate to people how important that is. And then our diversity, equity, and inclusion work, I think, has been remarkable enough so that the American Association of State Colleges and Universities gave us an Excellence in Innovation Award in that arena. I brought with me today, I don't know how many of us have seen, this is a nice recent publication on Jonesville. It's really good. Anybody that goes through that is going to have a greater understanding and appreciation for diversity, equity, and inclusion. So all of these things in the Monday Hall presentation where George spoke to that, and he got upstage that day. George was a great speaker, but then Mrs. Mundy, she blew it away. What a woman she is. I think there's more things that can be done and will be done. So, taking a few minutes to pause and reflect on this past year and what we've done, I think it's well worth our time in this meeting. And with that, I'll ask the President Kaboni. I know he's ready to say something as well, and anybody else that wants to speak up. It's a big university. We all try to participate in different ways, different venues. And that's important, and as regents, we all need to show up whenever and how often we can. People do notice.
Regent Bell, thank you for the recap. Certainly not exhaustive, but important work. Lots to celebrate, and today, of all days, to celebrate. Commencement is the most important day for our institution. It's the reason why we do everything we do each other day of the year. And so as we celebrate our graduates, I want to say thank you for a remarkable year. And it's going to be a wonderful celebration. So our reception starts, Beth, at 5 o'clock. Is that correct?
4:45.
Somewhere in there. That's what, I'm from New Orleans. You're always 15 minutes late. I want to just say a few things in advance of tonight and our next gathering. First of all, I will reiterate what Susan said.
that if you have a few moments as you're making your way to the reception at the top of the hill, take a detour. Go look at what's happening behind Van Meter Hall, behind Cherry Hall, as you walk up from the Commons, and what used to be Colonnade Drive is now Colonnade Way, and what eventually will become Garrett Plaza. We have a spectacular campus, but this transformation at the top of the hill really allows us to return to President Cherry's initial vision of an oval academical village that crowned the top of the hill when we removed Garrett. And what we've created is a space for our community, again, to gather. But this is gathering outside, so there are spaces that you'll see, nooks and crannies, and as the flowers grow and the trees grow, it's going to be, again, a continued differentiator for us in the marketplace. Our hill is special, but returning to the initial vision is really a remarkable opportunity. And so I thank you for your approval of the leadership on that. Number two, we do have a spectacular hill, but it's particularly beautiful around commencement. And that's partially because of the spring, but more importantly, because our facility services works tirelessly for the weeks leading up to tomorrow and today to put things in place. And so to Brian and the entire team, thank you for the mulching, the planting of flowers, the removing of old flowers, the timing of the lawn mowing to make sure the grass is perfect for today and tomorrow. It just really is an incredible effort that requires months of planning. And so I'm thankful that we all get to enjoy the spectacular landscape tomorrow and today. And then lastly, and this is looking toward our next meeting, I look at Regent Brinkley, who's involved in public radio and public media. Some of you may have noticed, both within the Commonwealth and outside of the Commonwealth, there have been some conversations around university public radio stations or public media, and the relationship between an institution and particularly the news gathering portions of those organizations. I will take a step back. Some of you may recall, as Vice Chancellor for Public Affairs at the University of Kansas, I was responsible for, and public media reported to me, a particularly interesting situation because so did the PR wing of the university. And what I made clear from my first day there was that the news service and the news gathering organization of public media has a wall between the institution and the PR arm. And that goes for the folks who actually do public relations, but it goes up the chain. And so it there, and I reiterated that when I came here, when Regent Brinkley and public media reports here to the president. And what I've said is that we will not intervene on the public affairs side of the House, any leadership, or from the president, in any news gathering activities of public media. We must have full objectivity and no interference, and I'm committed to that. So what we will bring to you, Regent Brinkley and I, is a policy that reiterates that formally at the committee meetings in June. But given the conversation nationally in the Commonwealth, I just wanted to make that explicit and clear to everyone that our NPR station is a remarkable asset for this institution. And the news gathering portion of it is so important to our region. They must have complete and total autonomy to ask questions of anyone they want to ask, and we're providing that to them. So, Regent Brinkley, if you'd like to add anything to that.
News around the country, there have been some instances, particularly at university licensees, where they're given the reporting seems to be some undue influence. It doesn't take a lot of effort to find some of these stories. Some are maybe in our own backyard. But what I have been pleased with in the time that I've been in this position is that both presidents have willfully adopted this firewall. We did not initially think that it would be necessary for the board to adopt it as well. Seeing that that's a trend and that this university has always served as a beacon for the First Amendment and under the School of Media, the strong message that we give our student journalists, we can reinforce that with the acceptance and adoption of this editorial integrity policy, which we will outline and provide to the board. I appreciate it's more than just a gesture. It means a lot, and to hear it also reinforced for the record is something that really is a testament to the value that students get in knowing that there is no blurred line here. And I want to make sure that everybody understands that. So I appreciate this. Timing sometimes facilitates these things, and unfortunately, this is one of those instances. But we appreciate it. We'll have that information and look forward to proceeding.
Very good. Any comments? If you'll indulge me just a minute on this, and it does speak to freedom of the press, and it speaks somewhat to academic freedom. And probably the most famous statement in all higher education with regard to that was made in the late 1800s at the University of Wisconsin. And I won't remember exactly the whole thing, but it basically said the university will forever encourage the continual and fearless sifting and winnowing by alone which the truth may be found. And that's what we want. Sifting and winnowing. Okay. Any other comments or business to be had there?
All right. Mr. Chairman, I move that we go into closed session as provided by KRS 61.810, subsection 1, for the purpose of discussing pending litigation against or on behalf of the university.
So moved.
Second.
Second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Were restricted to those stated in the motion, and no formal action was taken by the board in closed session. We have a few other business items and announcements that are listed at future meeting dates. And I think we have a graduation here in just a few hours. And
4:45 is the reception start time.
Rachel said that Avenue Champions open until they start walking. Okay. So you're fine to go.
Oh, okay. And that'll be not till 6.
All right. So yes. We can move our cars to Diddle.
Yes.
All right. Do I have a
motion? Move to adjourn.
A motion and a second to adjourn. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?